Good morning, podcast audience. This is Ken Hodge from the Ken Hodge Postal Podcast.
Let's go.
You're listening to the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast. Podcast audience, and welcome to the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast. This morning we're going to start our podcast off with some good news for a change, and that good news is I'm very happy to see a few employees that have returned to work. And I'll start that list off with my sister Patty Hawkins. It's a pleasure to see you back at work. I hope your recovery is going excellent. And again, just happy to see you at work, Sister Patty. Also, we have two employees that were alleged to be on light duty. I never believed that, but they're back to work also. So I won't say their names. I'm just going to say I'm extremely happy to see you back. I'm glad the situation was addressed and taken care of. And I'm sure the post office could really use your assistance at this particular junction. I'm also very happy to see that the plant manager maintained his word when he told me 2 weeks ago that if I would tell the employees that the excessive work hours will be addressed via additional personnel, and those personnel would be here in 2 weeks. Well, I'm going to mark this one on my calendar, because postal management actually said they would do something, and hand claps to the plant manager for getting it done. You know, if I try to change the vibe on this podcast to a vibe that's going to motivate you to try to speak differently to postal management, and hopefully we can understand their thought process, but more importantly, how can we make the work life that we are committed to just a little more enjoyable? You know, we come to work every day, and this is a pretty generic statement. It doesn't matter if you're a letter carrier, maintenance, mail handler, or any other craft, sales and service associate. We come to work every day and pretty much do the same thing every single day. And it would baffle the mind of anybody who studied business processes why we can't perfect that. And there's a very basic reason why we can't perfect that. And that is, and I don't mean to be anything other than informative right now, postal management really has no idea of what it is they expect from their employees. It is always a little more. No matter what it is you do, their management style says, get a little more. If they would slow down, maybe stop doing so much craft work and start looking at their operation, and I know it's easy said, but very hard to do, and start looking at their operations and then determine what it is they expect from each employee. And then maybe if they manage to that number, and I'm not a fan of productivity, that's why I'm saying numbers or pretty much the same thing, but I'm just not a fan of postal productivity. But if that supervisor understood better their work area, they wouldn't have to ask for so much from so few every day. And then from the perspective of that employee, society or the postal atmosphere or environment has educated you to think, if in your opinion you know what you're doing, you're getting it done, how dare that supervisor come over and ask you anything? See, again, through no fault of your own, but as you go through probation, you tend to see that's the environment. And as an employee, when a supervisor asks anything, before we think about a response, we think, why would you ask me that? I know what I'm doing. And that culture's got to change. Sometimes I just want to ask the question, as an employee of the United States Postal Service, do you want to understand what it is you do? Or do you want to just do what you do? See, because if you took the time and understood, and let me tell you something, I'm not trying to make you a postal lifer or anything like that, but the fact of the matter is, we're going to be coming there, well, you'll be reporting for work for a few more years. So if you're coming there, then wouldn't it make sense to really just take a minute and understand what it is or how your job is supposed to function? See, because if you knew that, then I'm certain that you would change your approach to work every day. I'm just giving you my observations. You know, I try to give you heavy doses of what management is not doing properly or isn't doing properly. I try to give you heavy doses of contract to open your eyes. But from my view, it doesn't seem, I mean, as employees, and again, I'm just speaking my mind to you today. It doesn't seem that you get too wrapped around your contract, and you should. But I notice more and more that most employees just get away from that, and they rely on a union, stewards, presidents, however they break down, to understand that and fight that fight for them. And that's just not happening with consistent regularity in these days and times within the Postal Service. I'm simply saying, what is it that you want to do? Because I'm simply trying to help you get it done. If you're not going to be students of your contract to know your work rates, what is it that you want to do? What do you want to do? If you want to come to work and disregard your contract, then that's on you. That's a choice you make. I won't be a part of it, but that's a choice you make.
To the Kenny Hines.
But you have a
postal podcast.
I'm talking to all crafts right now. We have solid contracts. Sure, nothing is perfect. But what's already written and agreed upon, we really don't implement with consistency. And that's because most union personnel, and I'm talking the local level and below, because nothing but mad love to the national, because they put in work. I'm sorry. I don't know any other way to put that. Yeah, the team at national, I mean, I got a lot of respect. But let's get back to what I was saying with the employees.
Well, with your union, so to speak,
you have to get fired up. You got to get energized about something. You have to develop a hunger. The hunger to insist that members or employees become members, not just members, active members in some capacity. That seems to have diminished, and it needs to come back with a vengeance and a whole new let's get excited inner feelings, because unions are the strength of labor. And if you have a complacent or docile unit, then your union is responsible for trying to create a positive work atmosphere. But when your union don't or can't fill that void, then it leaves all the employees at a disadvantage. Let's move right on to an article that's a live issue on the work floor in Columbus, Ohio, and that's Article 12.3. There seems to be some concern or an issue as to if a mail handler is on a higher level assignment, when does the mail handler have to come down? How long do they have to stay down for? Well, first of all, let me tell you something. If you're not on an assignment of 120 consecutive days, as per Article 12.3, which I'm going to read in 1 second, you don't have to come down at all. If you're a mail handler who covers 2 or 3 days a week, every week, well, again, you don't meet that 120 consecutive days, so Article 12.3 is not really addressing you. And before I go too much further, I'm going to read to you from Article 12.3B12, and it reads as follows. Mail handlers temporarily detailed to a supervisory position 204B or detailed to a EAS position may not bid or be assigned to any vacant mail handler duty assignments while on detail. However, nothing contained herein shall be constructed to preclude such temporary detail employees from voluntarily terminating a 204B or EAS detail and returning to their craft position. After returning to the craft position, such employees may exercise their right to bid on vacant mail handler craft duty assignments. The duty assignment of a full-time or part-time regular mail handler detailed to an ES position or a supervisory position, including a supervisory training program, in excess of 120 consecutive days shall be declared vacant and shall be posted for bids in accordance with this article. Under such circumstances, the employee shall not be eligible to rebid the next posting of that assignment. Upon return to the craft, the mail handler will become an unassigned full-time or part-time regular mail handler with a fixed schedule. A mail handler temporarily detailed to an ES position or supervisory position will not return or be returned to the craft solely to circumvent the provisions of Section 12.3B12. An employee detailed to an ES position or supervisory position must return to the craft for a minimum of 1 continuous pay period to prevent circumvention of the intent of this provision. And the last paragraph reads, Form 1723, Notice of Assignment, shall be used in detailing mail handlers to temporary supervisory positions or EAS detailed positions. The employer will provide the union at the local level with a copy of Form 1723 showing the beginning and ending of all such details. Now, real quick, let me give you Kenny Hodge's version of what I just read to you out of Article 12.3B12. If you stay in a higher level capacity for 120 consecutive days, then you have to come down in order to bid. You can't bid while on higher level. And if your job is taken from you because you went 120 consecutive days on a higher level detail, then the next time that job is posted, you can't bid it. I repeat, you cannot bid that job the next time it's posted. If you are on a detail in excess of 120 days, then your bid can be vacant. If you don't meet that criteria, I really don't care what you've done in the past in Columbus, Ohio, or anywhere else, your bid is not vacant. That's contract. That's not anything other than Article 12. But let me say to the MHAs that go on higher level, you have to be have meticulous attention to detail in the manner in which your 1723 is prepared. Because if you're only covering 1 or 2 days a week, make sure you get individual 1723s for that 1 or 2 days instead of one that covers a 3-month period. Because then, even though you're only covering 3 days a week, you risk having your job become vacant. Vacant. That's your bid job I'm speaking about. I'm going to close the podcast out with a conversation I had today with our plant manager. He's of the opinion that if we can hold fast for 5 to 6 more weeks, then all the holiday mailing will be behind us and we can get back to some facsimile of a normal schedule. I took normal to mean if you're not on the overtime list, they're going to stop forcing you to work overtime. I took normal to mean that if you are an MHA, you're going to have a sharp reduction in your work hours because they're not going to require you to work 6 days a week, 12 hours a day. So that's what I took normal to mean. And again, our plant manager promises new employees. We got new employees. So I'll walk with him. If he says 5 or 6 more weeks, then my message to you will be, let's hang in there. And again, while we still have excessive work hours, remember, fatigue will exacerbate viruses that you may be exposed to. And the reason I say that is we're going into a second wave of coronavirus in the United States. And with employees asked to work a lot of hours in addition to their base 40, you have to be aware and get your proper rest. And again, I understand that most of you have home lives and children and things that take place after work.
Podcast.
But all I can say to you is you're not going to be able to do both. So plant manager says hang in there with him for about 5 more weeks. We'll be past the holiday mailing season and we can get back to normal. So I'm going to hang in there with him. And hopefully you'll be able to hang in there with us also. We'll get through the holiday mail season, and then F Troop will be back to normal.
You,
first.
You.